Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody out this morning. Appreciate your presence. I'm filling in Don's absence this morning for the adult Bible class. Before we begin, though, let's have a word of prayer, if you would bow with me. Our God and Father in heaven, we humbly approach your throne this morning. We give you thanks for this day that you've given us. We give you thanks for all the many blessings that we have in our lives. We give you thanks for all the physical things that we have that sustain us day in and day out. We thank you, God, for the spiritual things you give us, the ability that we have to pray to you and to bring our wants and petitions to you. We thank you for that, and we also thank you for your Son, Jesus, that sacrificed himself so that we might have remission of our sins. We pray, God, that you would be with the sick of our number, the sick of the household of faith, that you would heal them and comfort them and help them to regain their strength. Help us to do whatever we can to encourage them and to lift them up. We also pray for those that are spiritually sick. We ask that you would help us to do what we can to encourage them and to prick their hearts so they might turn back to you before it's too late. We pray, God, that you would be with us this hour, that you would help us focus our minds on your scriptures and your will for us, and help us to learn something that might build us up as Christians and strengthen our faith. We ask you to watch over us this day and keep us safe. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin, I did want to give everybody an update on my grandfather. I know a lot of you have been asking over the past few months how he's doing and how things are going with him. Honestly, he's not doing that great. He's dealing a lot with the dialysis. You know, his kidneys are not great, and he's having a hard time with that. It makes you weak and all that kind of thing. And of course, he's had some brain damage essentially is what it is from the toxins and before he got on dialysis. So he's having a hard time remembering things, and it's hard on my aunt. Most of you know my aunt Linda, and she's taking care of him in Virginia. So they're having a hard time right now. So if you would please keep him in your prayers. As you know, he has a pretty strong spirit, so that's, he wants to be up here is where he wants to be, and it's hard for the family to deal with that. So please keep him in your prayers. So this morning, I just want to talk a few minutes about addiction. We think of addiction as something that someone else has, someone else is addicted to something. Someone else has a problem with something. It never really happens to us. We don't really think that way. We think that, we don't have any addictions most of the time. If you do, you probably know it. At least that's the way we think. So just for a few minutes this morning, and of course, feel free to raise your hand and comment or ask questions as we go along here. So the first thing, Webster defines addiction as a need for and use of a habit-forming substance. That's usually what we think about with addiction. It's something that someone can't give up. It's some physical drug or something that someone can't get over. It's also a persistent, compulsive use of a substance known by the user to be harmful. My keyboard's not working that well, so sorry about the typos. The person normally knows that the substance is bad for them. It's harmful. They usually understand that. Even when they're addicted to it, they understand that. But it's a compulsive use. They're compelled to do that. They may even feel like they don't have control over it. It's something inside them that compels them to do that. Wikipedia says, addiction is a brain disorder characterized by compulsive engagement in rewarding stimuli despite adverse consequences. The two properties that characterize all addictive stimuli are that they are reinforcing and rewarding. So when you participate in whatever this is that causes the addiction, it's rewarding to you. It's something that you enjoy, something that you like to do. And it's rewarding somehow. You get something out of it. You know, people don't really get addicted to things that they don't really enjoy or that they don't get anything out of. It's something that they get something back. And, you know, before someone becomes addicted to something, we usually consider that to be a habit. You know, someone has a habit of doing something, and then it becomes a serious habit. And as we go along here, you'll find that this is not going to be just about drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing. So as we go through this, I want everybody to just think about what kind of habits do you have? How many habits do you have? Can you count them all? How many bad habits do you have? So if you could just think about, say, like three of your habits that you'd like to change as we go through this, maybe you'll see a different point of view and be able to change them. You know, we all have habits. People are creatures of habits, as it said, that we tend to do things over and over again. It a lot of times brings us comfort to do the same thing every day. You know, we wake up, we do the same things in the morning as just a habit. You know, it gets us going for the day. Whatever that is, whether you take a shower, drink coffee, whatever it is that gets you going, you normally do that every single day. It's a habit. Not all habits are bad, of course. You know, some habits keep us on the right track. You know, just a quick list of habits. Some people chew gum all the time. Some people have a snack before bed as a habit. They drink their coffee in the morning. Some people have a habit of eating out on the weekend. You know, maybe you always go out to eat on Sunday afternoon. Some people have a habit of shopping. They just always want to go shopping. Maybe you don't buy anything, but you enjoy shopping, looking around. Some people have a habit of checking their phone constantly. Who doesn't check their phone all the time? Who doesn't check their email all the time? If you have work email, normally they expect you to check that on a regular basis. You know, the media is something that people have a habit of checking on, whether it's the TV, you know, watching the news every night as a habit, checking things on the internet, your favorite webpage or whatever it is that you check constantly can become a habit. The problem is when you do that constantly and it literally takes up hours out of your day. It goes a little bit beyond just a habit. Some people have a habit of taking pain pills. You know, no one likes pain. I don't know anyone really that enjoys having pain. You know, and you take a few ibuprofen or Tylenol, whatever your choice drug is, and it goes away. Do you take that on a regular basis? Is it something that's constant? And I understand there's some people that have constant pain. That's a whole nother issue. But the point is, if you have a habit and you keep doing something, eventually you're going to end up doing that thing when you don't need it. You're going to end up drinking coffee all day long when you really don't need it to wake up in the morning. That's all you need it for. you don't need it all day long, maybe, then that habit becomes a constant thing. So the problem we have with habits is that we may not even realize that a habit has a hold on us. We don't even realize that we're doing it that much. And of course, you know, some habits are worse than others. Some habits are even sinful. That's the real problem. When a habit becomes an addiction, it then becomes sinful. When something has a hold on your life and it's taking the place of God, that then becomes sinful. Whatever it is, a habit can become your idol. You essentially worship it. Maybe not in the way that we consider worship, but it is your focus in life. There's the right button. So first of all, smoking. Smoking is an addiction for most people that start smoking. And just some statistics about smoking. One out of five deaths are contributed to tobacco products. One out of five people that die have had some influence with tobacco. Every 8 seconds, someone in the world dies of tobacco. You know, most of us know these things. Cigarette smoke contains 69 chemicals that are known to cause cancer. One out of three smokers die from tobacco-related disease. 70% of smokers want to quit. So 70% of people that smoke, they want to quit. They understand that it's an addiction that they need to get rid of. It is bad for them. They understand that. Unfortunately, only 5% succeed every year. That's how addicting that is. 95% of people that want to quit are not successful. In the U.S. alone, smoking causes 445 new cases of lung cancer every day. Tobacco kills more Americans than AIDS, drugs, homicides, fire, and accidents combined. So why is it that only 5% of smokers succeed in quitting when they already know the horrible outcome that's going to happen? It's because they're addicted. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." From all of these statistics, sounds like smoking's bad for your body. We all know that. It's a terrible, terrible thing that a lot of people are addicted to. And we understand also that we are not supposed to abuse our body. We need to glorify God in our body and not abuse it. Rick? Right. My version actually says, "But I will not be dominated by anything." If we have something in our lives that's controlling us, we are being dominated by it. We are addicted to it. That is something we need to avoid, obviously. Alcohol addiction. I don't have any stats on alcohol addiction, but I'm sure it's the same way. That, you know, thousands of people every year die from some sort of alcohol, whatever it is that's causing their organs to fail. We know the bad effects of alcohol. So what causes someone to be an alcoholic?
Taking the first drink.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Because one drink of alcohol could make an addict out of someone. One drink could be all it takes. And that's, you could apply that to any of the things on this list. Anything that you think that is addictive, normally it only takes one time. Because once you do it that one time, why not do it a second time? Or a third, or a fourth, or a thousand? Because if it doesn't hurt you right away, it must be okay, right? There's some people that can drink alcohol every single day and not become what society would label as an alcoholic. You know, they don't walk around town being drunk all the time, but they have a couple drinks every day. It's still doing damage to their body. Their organs are feeling that effect. There's no way around that. You know, it seems like every couple years, they change their mind on wine. They say wine is good for your heart, and then they say, it's really not that good. You probably should avoid it. It might be good for your heart, but it's going to destroy your other organs. So, my point is that trusting science and man is probably not the best course of action when it comes to those kind of things. Next one is drug addiction. And drug addiction today is not just your standard narcotics. You know, heroin is an extremely bad thing in this country, especially in Ohio. Can't tell you how many people I've heard of that I know that have had problems with heroin. It has a hold on them, and they're addicted to it. And it's so readily available. It's not hard to find. It also includes prescription drugs. You know, the narcotics are bad, of course, we know, but we think prescription drugs aren't really that harmful. You know, a doctor told us to take it. You know? It can't be that bad for us. I don't have the statistics, but there's a lot of people that are addicted to prescription drugs, and they can't get off of them. They have an extremely hard time kicking that habit because they're addicted to it. You know, talking about pain pills, that's probably the worst one, is that people, whether it's after surgery or something, people will be prescribed pain medicine because the doctor knows you're going to have a rough time for the next few days or weeks, and the doctor prescribes pain pills. That's what they do because you're going to have pain. So they try to fix that. The problem is knowing when to stop. And, you know, if you have a prescription, the bottle says one a day for 10 days, you're probably going to take all 10, right? That's what it tells you to do. It's hard to know, though, when your addiction would start. Maybe it's day 5. Maybe it's day 1. Maybe it's day 10. And I'm not saying, you know, don't take medicine, of course. But just to be aware of these things is what we have to keep in mind, that these things are real. They happen to everyday people, not just drug addicts, as we consider them. You know, I don't like the way I feel on prescription pain medicine. I really don't like it. Other people, they want it all the time. Sometimes I don't even like taking cold medicine. You know, it makes me feel funny, and sometimes I get delirious. And the point is that when that happens, I'm not being sober-minded. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Being sober-minded is mentioned at least 7 times in the New Testament. One of them is in 1 Peter chapter 4. Down in verse 7 it says, "The end of all things is at hand, therefore. The self-controlled and sober mind, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." We're told over and over again to be sober-minded. What does that mean? To be sober-minded. Anybody? Clear thought process? Sure, yeah. If you're not thinking clearly, you're not being sober-minded. When we think about the word sober, well, it's the opposite of being drunk, right? What happens when you're drunk? Most people are not thinking clearly. They're not acting the way they would normally. Being self-controlled and sober-minded. That's an extremely important thing that we need to keep in mind. As Christians, we have to be self-controlled and sober-minded. And especially these first few things, when you're dealing with alcohol or drugs or something like that, you're obviously not sober-minded. There's just no way. Marijuana is basically everywhere at this point. It'll probably be legal in all 50 states, I'm going to guess, in the next 10 or 20 years. It's going to be all around us. It's going to be a huge problem. Nobody really sees it as a huge problem because it doesn't have some of the more serious effects as some other drugs. The problem is you're still not being sober-minded. You're not being self-controlled. When your mind is altered in any way, you're not being sober-minded. Anybody have anything else on that?
Yeah, it's a gateway drug, though. It's the one you start with.
Sure. That's a good point. Yeah, you think, well, it's not that bad. It's not like heroin or cocaine or something like that. And you think, well, I'll try it once. And that's really, you know, like Dale said, it's that first time. Because if the first time you do it, it's not really that bad, you think, that's all right, I'll try it again. You know, not that often, of course. Special occasions, as most people consider alcohol to be okay for special occasions, something like that. It's not really a special occasion if you're altering your mind. That's a bad thing. That's something we need to keep in mind as something that's negative, altering our state of mind. That's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to alter our state of mind. He gave us our state of mind so that we can be sober-minded. Computer and phone addiction. I talked about being on your phone constantly. I'm guilty of it. Most of us are. If you have a smartphone, you're always checking it for something. Emails, Facebook, whatever it is, there's an update out there somewhere for you that you have to see right now, right? You can't miss that update. Someone may be sending you something very important. But if you think about it, and you really step back and you add up, how many minutes a day do you spend on your phone? How many minutes a day do you spend on the computer? Are you measuring it in minutes, or is it more like hours? You know, I work on a computer most of the day at work. That doesn't count. I'm talking about your free time that you spend on your phone or your computer. In reality, that's time that you're taking away from God. You know, I understand that we all need some sort of outlet. We need some sort of stress reliever. Our society is a high-stress society. That's just the way it is. You know, unless we move to the, you know, to the mountains somewhere and live on our own and have no interaction with people, you're going to have a lot of stress. So there's things that we have to do, whether you watch TV, listen to the radio, play on your phone, computer, whatever it is, we need to de-stress sometimes. That was stressful. Don't know what that was. But seriously, a lot of times we're on edge. You know, we have to do things to relieve stress. Whatever it is that you do, it could be anything. It could be exercise. Whatever it is, it can become a habit that takes up all of your time. And when it takes up all of your time and controls your life, that's when it becomes an addiction. I don't know of anything that you could say that's an addiction that's good for you, other than maybe being addicted to reading your Bible or addicted to praying. How many of us can say that? That we're addicted to reading our Bible. We're addicted to praying. Pretty much all the other addictions are bad for you because it's taking the place of God. Behavioral addiction. I'm not exactly sure what this means yet. I saw this on a list on the internet and just kind of threw it in there. But just off the top of my head, it seems like some people have behavioral problems that they're addicted to. Maybe it's gossiping. That's kind of a behavior. Some people are addicted to gossiping, talking about other people, being negative all the time. That can be a behavior problem. If you're negative all the time... Should I get another mic? If you're negative all the time, that's a problem. It's a habit that you form of being negative about something. That can become an addiction. It's a behavior problem. So that can also be something we need to keep in mind. TV and video games. I mentioned TV, but you know, there's some numbers out there that most young people spend anywhere between 4 and 8 hours watching TV or playing video games every day. Most kids love watching TV. Most kids love playing video games. They just do. And if you let them do that all the time, they will do it for probably 8 hours a day or more. They enjoy doing it. It becomes a habit. Maybe they wake up in the morning, turn on the TV, play some video games. They do that every morning over and over and over. That's a little bit more than a habit. It becomes an addiction. If you try to take a video game away from a child, I can tell you firsthand, they've become a junkie. They love that video game. They don't want to give it up. It becomes their life. And some kids are different than others, of course. Some kids, you know, they play it for 30 minutes. I'm going to go do something else. Most kids, though, will play that until you tell them to stop. They become addicted to it. We look at that and we say, well, that's, you know, kids are kids. How much TV do we watch a day? How many TV shows do you watch? I say TV, I don't know how many of you actually watch a television with cable anymore. Most of it's on the internet. Streaming services have movies and TV shows you can watch as many times as you want. You could watch the same show over and over 1,000 times in a row. They call it binge watching, where you'll just pick a show and watch the whole first season. Well, that didn't take too long. I'll watch the second season. Before you know it, you've blown an entire weekend watching TV. What are we using our time for? Is the real question. Extreme collecting disorder. This is a fun one. How many of you are extreme collectors? What I mean by that is you enjoy collecting things. I'm not talking about baseball cards. I'm talking about physical things. It could be baseball cards. All right. But it's collecting stuff. They call it hoarding. Never give things up. You never give things away. You never throw things out. I'm a recovering hoarder. I'm what you would call an entry-level hoarder. When I first got out on my own, someone said the word free. I was all over it. Single guy on his own, renting an apartment, no furniture. You're going to take anything you can get. That couch, little suspect, you're taking it. Whatever it is, it's free. I'm taking it. And eventually, you know, start to get on my feet and, you know, don't need as much free stuff anymore. Somebody says the word free, all over it. It's hard to give that up. Something's free, that's the best thing in the world, right? Something that's free. How many things do we get that are free? Not much. There's not much in this world that's free. So when you get that, you hold on to it. But then you realize, I have 3 couches. I don't need 3 couches. There's not that many people in the house. I don't know that many people that would come over to my house and sit on those couches. That's a problem. Eventually, you got to get rid of some of the couches. You got to get rid of some of the stuff. We all do that. We say, well, I might need that someday. And get it. Do you really need it? Do you really need another coffee maker? how much coffee are you really drinking? How many blenders do you have in your house right now? Basement, attic, wherever. Everybody loves blenders, right? It's a blender. It blends things. It chops things up. What, do you use it once a year? But we need another one, right? Collecting things. It becomes a habit. Becomes an obsession. Becomes an addiction. Eventually, you just got to throw it out. So what causes addiction? What's the root cause? Well, there's something they've found that's called FOSB. Delta FOSB is a brain chemical important in the formation of addictions. It builds up in natural addictions, such as high consumption of fatty, sugary foods, high levels of aerobic exercise, and sexual activity. Some sources suggest that it declines around the 6th to 8th week of abstaining, meaning you're trying to give it up. You're trying to give up whatever it is. And around 6 to 8 weeks of doing that, it starts to decline. And we suspect this decline in Delta FOSB is behind the big improvements people see once they get to the 8-week mark. So there's a lot of research that's been done on addiction itself, brain chemicals and how all that works. I'm not a neurologist, but I can see that they're starting to figure out there are some chemicals in our brains that help cause addiction. Why? Well, because something is released in our brain when we do something enjoyable. There's hormones and chemicals in there that our brain tells us, hey, that was fun, do it again. Okay, we'll do it again. Well, it becomes a habit. And then whatever it is that you've done over and over and over again becomes an addiction. Can you fix addiction? Is really what we need to focus on. First thing you need to do is pray. If you recognize that you have some sort of an addiction in your life, the first thing you need to do is pray about it. Not try to fix it on your own. Not turn to an expert, the internet, a specialist, a doctor. Pray about it first. Because chances are that addiction has taken the place of prayer in your life. Whatever it is, it's probably taken the place of prayer. So if you turn back to God and pray to Him, you might be able to kick that addiction right away. If that doesn't work, Bible study. Again, that addiction has probably taken the place of your daily Bible study. Whatever it is, it's taking up your time. And then you don't have the time to spend studying the Word. Don't even start the bad habits. That first drink, obviously, is going to lead to something else. Whatever it is, the first time, avoid it. Don't even do it. Changing habits. Changing habits is sometimes difficult. If you're trying to give up drinking coffee or tea, whatever it is that you drink in the morning that has caffeine in it, to get you going and get you motivated, an excess of caffeine is very bad for you. And that's probably different for every person. Some people should only have one cup of coffee a day. Some people it doesn't really affect. Then think about how you're affecting others around you with your habit. How is your habit affecting those that you love the most? Is it affecting them negatively? Probably. Substitution. Giving up coffee, drink tea. Giving up tea, drink water. It's not an easy thing to do. And finally, if all else fails, you may need actual professional help. If it comes to that. Whatever it is, you need to figure out how to solve the problem. So, That's all I have on that, but just keep in mind that these kind of things happen to all different kinds of people, not just the junkie or the addict. If we're taking the place of our time with God, there's a problem. Thank you.